Jet clobbers one. High and deep, down the left field line, and it is gone! First pitch, hit on the line out to deep right field. Back goes Santander, stops at the wall, and it is gone! He swings and he charges one. Straight away center field, going back to the bullpen, and it is gone! A three-homer game for Bo Bichette!
We've said this all along, that Bo's a huge part of our team in offense, and right now he's locked in. Unbelievable performance by him, impressive to go left field, right field, and left center. I've been saying it all along, he's a special hitter, and when he's locked in, there's not many better than him, you know, getting hot at the right time. He's really dangerous right now.
What's up, everybody? It's the Fan Morning Show. Sportsnet 590, the Fan. Nothing hotter than Bo Bichette right now. Absolutely nothing. That was the sweetest thing about that game, by the way. I'm J.D. Bunkus, Sam McKee with me today. Ailish off this week. She's at a wedding out east, living her life. Yeah.
I saw some of those pictures. Looks unbelievable.
Yeah.
That she put up a sunset pic the first time ever. I was like, wow, that's a nice sunset pic.
Yeah. I'm a sunset pic guy.
I know you are. Yeah. That's what I said.
Yeah. I felt like that was a shot at me.
Maybe it was.
Well, here's the thing. When you leave the city and you start seeing the sky again.
Yeah, yeah.
And night. Yeah. You know, stars?
Yeah, yeah.
You remember stars, dude?
Yeah, I do.
I grew up with stars.
Me too.
Sick.
Very nice.
So cool. Stars are sick. Gone when you live in the city. You start getting real in your feelings about night sky when you're in the country.
Longing for the stars.
Oh, yeah. You get in that country. Oh, yeah. You get back into the stars. I'm a big stars guy. Bo Bichette, those three bombs, all being in different locations, sexy. Mm-hmm. Sexy stuff, Bo Bichette. Very, very sexy.
And on the fourth AB in the ninth, when he first made contact, I was like, oh my God, he did it.
Yeah.
It was a hard hit ball. It was right at a guy, which was too low of a line drive. But when he first hit it, I was like, oh my God, it's going to happen. But it didn't. And by the way, speaking of hot, in studio, looking at each other, a little weird, no? After years of, you know, sitting in my little like crappy spot at home with a gamer headset coming in here and doing this.
I'm coming back to the studio.
Yeah, of course. Once everything gets started up again, I'll come back in. But like, it's been a summer of sitting at home doing them in your underwear, and it's nice to come back in and look at you and do
a show.
You
know what, though? How sweet is it walking to the old machine and hitting that button, getting a fresh coffee in your underwear at work?
I'm gonna miss it. I mean, I do the drip, you know.
Poor Josh Santos, he's back here grinding away every day. He's like, I don't know what you guys talk about. You didn't even get a taste, Josh. You didn't even get a little sprinkle of a taste.
God love all our ops. Never ever once got to work from home.
God love anybody, and a lot of people listen to the show right now, like, I don't ever work from home. I never got a taste. I'll tell you about the taste. It's pretty sweet. There's some sweet days in there, I gotta tell you. It was not so bad sometimes. Yeah. It definitely became a thing where he went, all right, it's too much. Got to go in every once in a while. But either way, it did get a little crazy. Yeah, Bo Bichette, dude, he has more RBI in five games this month than he had all last month.
Yeah.
He's got 12 runs batted.
And more homers, too.
Yeah, he's on fuego right now. And his numbers are bananas these last five games, obviously. It felt like, you know, he was already starting to look better at the dish. But it's one of those situations where, holy crap, everything all happening at once to just basically normalize the numbers for the season. But so he's carrying this offense right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I really don't mean to butt the guy as he's carrying this team.
100%.
And carried them through these last five games, no doubt about it. But it does kind of feel like if he doesn't keep up at least some good numbers, we're still going to look at this as a disappointing Bo Bichette season, right?
Yeah, I don't think so.
You think that this is just papered over? Like, I mean, you look at the numbers and you go like, okay, well,
If he continues to play like this in the biggest games, and people are going to completely forget about the last months. But like, if you're right. If there's a bit of a drop off here within the next, you know, week when they're playing even bigger games, and the Rays, when they have a five game set with the Rays, they come in, they have all these huge games, and he drops off. Yes, but if he continues. Like, he's not going to continue to hit what's he hitting in his last seven games, like almost 500. Unbelievable. Yeah. So that's not going to continue.
I couldn't even believe, honestly, the end of the game, and I know it was kind of out of reach, and then it wasn't out of reach because this umpire, that crew, making them play that full game.
And they flashed over to Jeff Nelson, and it was just pouring rain. He was sitting there with his arms crossed, like, yeah, what do you want me to do? It's like, call the game, bro. It's pouring rain.
I get that it is the team that is chasing the Jays in the wild card.
Yeah.
So having it be cut short is a little...
For sure, but at least call it for that little bit. Like, it was legitimately pouring rain.
It was pouring rain.
Yeah, and they
had... Jays were up big.
And they had one of their star starters that they're going to need down there. I know you can say what you want about Berrios, but man, he's out there. He's like, can barely plant his foot. He's like looking at them. And then Jeff Nelson standing there in the pouring rain just staring at him like, I don't know.
Keep playing, guys.
Yeah.
Keep doing it.
Well, I mean, he had a bit of a bad day, too. I mean, he got into it with Gausman in the first game about the balk that he was dying to call.
Yo, do you have the audio, Josh?
About him getting pissed off?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought he went a little too far with it.
Who, Gausman did?
Yeah.
He was mad.
Yeah.
He was really mad.
Can you get it, Josh? Grab it. Yeah, because we'll play it. Because it was one of those things where, and listen, it's hard for me to criticize Gausman because this is a JD special, which is making the point. And then people go, all right, you know, that's a fair point. And then I go, you want to hear me make it again?
I'll circle back on a point.
You want to hear me say that exact thing again right now? Yeah. And people go, nah, really, you made it and we acknowledged
it.
Don't do it. And then I go, let me just make sure that you get what I'm saying here. I think he went to the well three times on it. And then he started throwing around words like premeditated.
It was premeditated.
Yeah, fine.
Well, he does the exact same thing literally every pitch. They showed another, like, Arden tweeted out a thing about the exact side-by-side of the next pitch. And it's identical.
Yeah.
Couldn't be more identical.
So, clearly, like he mentioned, the ump's been giving him the, hey, don't do that all year. Hey, be careful with that. But he's a stud.
That's what he does.
So they've been leaving him alone, mm-hmm. and that's his thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know how the brotherhood, the umpires, buddy. It's his brotherhood. Maybe because I watched the 30,000th Donaghy documentary.
Oh, my God. Like,
Tim Donaghy's just been dining out on being a cheater. This guy is like, he still does radio appearances. He's just all over the map. Now he gets an Untold series, and I'm going,
I don't know. I don't think I need this.
I liked how they went Untold. Tim Donaghy, I was like, it's been told.
Untold? It's the number one story.
Yeah, I was going to say, we've been getting told this story since the mid-aughts, baby.
It's like, very told.
We're told. We're told all about Tim Donaghy. We know what's going on. Honestly, they could have come to me and gone, hey, we need you to do Tim Donaghy thing. Done. And I could have said, yeah, I got it all covered.
I watched it, though.
Yeah, of course. I've been watching all those Untold. They're sweet.
It's good.
Yeah, we got to talk about Manti at some point. Yep. We got to do that one because, boy, I'm still... Sometimes I'll just be chilling and I'll just get mad. I'll just get mad about how Manti Te'o got screwed over. And I'm mad at myself for making Manti jokes, taking cheap shots at Manti. I should have never turned on Manti. I'm a Notre Dame guy. I never should have... I never, ever should have turned on the guy. Either way.
Got some feelings about that. Yeah, we can talk about that later. I feel guilty.
I know. I got to get some stuff off my chest. I didn't do it last when I was on with Ailish because she hadn't watched it yet.
Yeah.
And I couldn't just... Yeah, but you've seen it. But the brotherhood of umpires and the feeling of you cross one, you cross them all. I don't know. The way he went to the well and hammered the point home one, two, three times, used premeditated, said he was going to do it, said he was...
Here's the thing. And you talk about the brotherhood. Jeff Nelson is one of the most, isn't he like one of the most senior guys, most respected? He's always
the inner circle of the brotherhood.
Yeah, like he is a guy that they all look at and they're like, oh, you're going after old Jeffy boy.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Jeff's sending them, he's in the group chat.
Oh, the memes about Gausman today, like baby memes flying around the group chat.
They use that. Remember that service Mark Cuban tried to invent with the emails delete after he sent them.
Oh, the one from the office where they're like, woof. That's what they
use. But I just mean that they can't leave the paper trail. So they just use the Cuban one and then all the emails delete. They self combust after he sends them out.
I will say, watching, like, it is a balk every time.
It's not, I can't believe I never noticed it. Have you ever thought about it?
Well, no, like, it's not something that crossed my mind.
No,
it's like I've been watching him work forever. And it's just, it is a balk.
Yeah,
time he balks. Yeah. Because he's like, he comes set, and then he's just tapping that toe. Yeah, it's like, you're not allowed to do that.
I know. When they were showing, even, again, my manager, Joe Siddle, pointing it out. And even Joe, who loves Gausman, obviously, was doing the whole, And I think that's why Gossman's so pissed, though, right? Because he's going,
he's like, shut up, man. Stop bringing attention to this.
Exactly. Yeah. You can't do this to me. Yeah. You can't set the precedent that this is bad because then you guys are going to start lighting me up on this and now it's going to be trouble. So,
but when he charged out there, I was like, oh my God, you can't get thrown out. Because if he got thrown out there, that would have been one of the most selfish moves because they had a doubleheader. What was that, the second inning or first inning?
Yeah, bigger bow play. grabbing Gossman or the three dingers?
It's honestly debatable. Yeah. I would say probably the three dingers because they won the game. But
he snagged
them. It was huge.
Huge bow snag.
He ran right out. Yeah, maybe his best defensive play all year.
Easily. Yeah. Roll old Gossman getting heated up. Let's hear it.
You know, just the fact that there's no warning given, you know, first chance like the guy gets on
warned
first,
all season,
you're
but
no call
warning
something
now.
Like that. You know, I kind of knew going into the game to be a little bit more aware of it and felt like I actually stopped on that pitch. And so if you actually look at the replay, I did stop. And so, you know, I just felt like Jeff, for whatever reason, wanted to make that call and went into the game knowing that he was going to make that call. And, it's unfortunate. Obviously, I was pretty heated, and, you know, Bo kind of saved me.
Way to go, Jeff.
Jeff.
Yeah, he said that very pissed off.
Oh, yeah. No, like I said, he gave him the what's for.
Mm-hmm.
Thing is, if you're the umps, you got to pick your spot, you know? You can't just ring him up next time on it.
Yeah, he'll get a wait. Big game. Yeah, Jeffy gets a big game in the playoffs. Oh, I'm scared.
Oh, he's spooked.
Yeah, like, now when, yeah, and Jeff Nelson, there's the history, obviously, because of strike two to Revere, right? That was him.
That was him?
That was him, yeah.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, that was him. So it's like Blue
Here's
Jays
the thing,
fans,
you could find every ump and you go, hey.
But
this,
that one is,
I know, that was
that's one that's is in every Blue Jay fan's heart.
I was a big umpire guy yesterday, though, on that strike three Simber call.
Oh, my God.
I was like, yeah.
I said to you, good call, Blue. On it.
Did, like, was he asleep? That
yes.
That was at his shins.
I know. And they did good frame job, brought it up for him.
Yeah. I guess it's a good frame job. But even when he brought it up, it looked still low where he brought it up. It was bad. That was a bad call.
Yeah,
huge
here's the
swing.
Umps suck. And we can talk about this till we're blue in the face.
Again,
but
no, I'm pro ump after.
Especially Jeff.
Jeff. So they're 4.5 games up on the O's now.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt like.
God, that's so sweet to look at. That
I know,
little
it's
cushion
really nice.
Is just
it's really nice.
Beautiful.
Okay, can I give you a confession, though?
Absolutely.
Can I just give you like a really dark confession?
Please do.
And this is the same way. I'm this way with gambling, like everything. People say they don't want to sweat. Mm. And I go, yeah, you say that. But then it's kind of boring and you search in the sweat. I say this about gambling all the time. Is people go, whoa, it was a sweat. And I go, you're welcome. Because that's the best way to win.
Mm.
And
I've got a rebuttal to this. So keep going.
All I'm saying is a little part of me. This is a confession, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Trust tree, just nobody get mad. I kind of liked that it felt like they were in a dogfight with the Orioles down the stretch and that they're going to be playing playoff baseball for a month. And now it sort of feels like if the Jays win tonight and they go up 5.5 games on the O's.
I think this.
I'm ready to stamp it.
Okay. I think this has more to do with you just working in sports media. Like, you're more like this, like, hey,
no,
explain
the sweats, the gambling sweats. Listen, I love the gambling sweats.
I agree because we talk about this team every day, but like, if I was just a fan, if I'm just Joe Schmo driving to work, listening to us every day, I'm like, oh my God, yeah, like, I don't have to sweat every night. I can just enjoy the game. Like, it's different.
But here's the thing, I don't mind a sweat if the team is enjoyable to watch, and they've been enjoyable to watch of it.
Well,
let's
be
honest, that Pirate series was not a treat. That was no treat.
But big moments that were like exhales, like the bowl bases clearing, like the bowl homer. All Bo moments.
Yeah.
But like the Bo homer in the first game.
Basically, what we're saying is that when Bo Bichette is the guy that we all hoped he could be, which is an MVP caliber player at the beginning of the season, because that was one of the premises of the season.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Jays are kind of fun.
And the moment.
Pitching.
The bullpen and Romano putting the first two guys on, getting the guys second and third, and then striking three guys out
with
the nastiest sliders he's ever thrown.
But that's what I'm saying. I love the balance, the sweetness and the spicy of sports when it's, I hate this. Oh, I love this.
But
I hate this. I love it. That's the best. That's the best feeling. And that's what I'm saying is, okay, another sneaky confession.
But, okay.
No, go ahead.
Well, I'm just going to say that now the sweat turns to, you look at the standings.
Yeah, I know.
They actually have a chance to catch the Yankees.
Yeah.
Like a real chance, especially the way they play and the way the Yankees stink.
They're not catching the Mariners.
Well, the problem is that they're playing the Twins and the Yankees just like, they're like, oh my God, the Twins?
Yeah.
Our favorite thing. Let's beat them like a drum.
Yeah.
But I that's
the what's even the point of being a Twins fan? You're like, do the Yankees?
We're gonna end up playing the Yankees at some point.
Hey, are we gonna play the Yankees? Oh yeah, you're the Twins. This is your destiny.
But like, they got that 5-game set against the Rays.
Mm-hmm.
That is so massive, man. Oh, yes. Like, it's just, you know, I guess I'm looking ahead, past these last two games of Baltimore, right? I mean, they go to Arlington this weekend for the crappiest, most meaningless series for the Rangers. Okay. But like, I am looking up now. I have to admit, which is crazy, and it's not necessarily going to be a treat. Like, if you ended up winning that division, that means you're probably going to be playing the Astros. Is that who you'd be playing in the DS? Because the worst.
I haven't looked at that yet. I haven't even thought about that yet.
That's the difference in our fandom. No. I've been looking up. You've been looking down.
No. Yeah. No. I've not been looking at that. Mm. I've been looking at the wild card pretty much exclusively.
Mm-hmm.
Just where are the Jays in the wild card mix? Where are the Orioles? I will say this, though, and not to be premature with it.
Mm-hmm.
The schedule does look less daunting after those two wins against the O's, because just the O's looked very young.
They looked very like the Orioles.
Yeah. All of a sudden, the Orioles pitching looked like guys that you expected to be facing all year long. They didn't make, they were like, oh, Jordan Lyles is a 6 ERA. He'll probably do, Jays will probably light him up. And then it goes, no, he went 6 runs, 2 earned, right? They just had a weekend, or they had a day anyways yesterday where they just look like the team they're supposed to be against the team the Orioles are supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And the young guy is making mistakes. Their top prospect, he blew like two different double plays where you go, oh, right, that's because you're brand new and you're going to make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
They've got those two guys who are terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest of the team was just sort of, all right, okay, Rougned Odor gets his one home run over two games because you knew he was going to get one.
Yes.
You know he's going to sting the Jays for one. His numbers are crap all year long, but he just loves hitting the Jays. And then outside of that, you just have to navigate around those two dudes, and it feels pretty easy.
God, Rushman's good.
Anyway, I know that people are going to burn me for being a curse, but those two teams looked worlds apart for the first time in a long time, and this is the right time to do that. And then when you look at the schedule, there's still so much room for Baltimore to make ground that you can't say it's done. But with that Rangers series looming, you get out of this with a series win against Baltimore, and then you get the Rangers, and it's hard not to feel a pretty high measure of confidence that those Orioles players are going to start looking at the standings and going, wow, we're really going to need to do a lot of work. All I will say, though, in terms of not being able to stamp it down and why I totally get why Jays fans would be screaming at their radios right now or the podcast, whatever you're listening to this on, the thing that I remain so frustrated with this team about, and I was talking about this with Ennis the other night, is they can look so good at times. All the pieces can come together and you can think, okay, they're doing it. This is the moment where they're finally starting to lock it. Like, dude, the at-bats in the last couple of games were awesome. They were way better.
Mm-hmm.
Pitching was good. Bullpen had moments. All of a sudden the bullpen looks kind of deep when the right guys are in the right spots and you go, okay, maybe they don't have the swing and miss, but it's not like there's a ton of guys that you're terrified of when they come out of the bullpen, right? I didn't love Simber there in that spot.
Yeah, no one did.
No one did?
No one did.
But
I don't think Schneider liked
December
in that spot.
But outside of that, it's not exactly like there's bullpen arms that you can't stand, right?
Who, for the Jays?
Yeah.
Like, you can't. I mean, the back half of the Jays bullpen, what's the Jays bullpen and their ERA since the All-Star break is like 2.95.
So I'm saying is that it's
been
not
really good, but a huge strength.
It's flawed. They don't have punch out guys. You'd like to have that still one more dude, but ultimately there's no. There's no catastrophe guys that come in there.
There's no dudes
that are just meltdown city.
Well, Trevor Richards could.
Yeah, but he's
been good.
And I don't even think he counts, honestly.
He's not going to pitch in a big spot in a big game.
Trevor Richards ain't seeing leverage in the playoffs.
Yeah,
and if he does, then
it doesn't matter.
It's done.
Yes.
Yeah, bad things have happened, and this is the reality in which we live is not a good one. It's the darkest timeline. But they can put it together at times, and they can look so awesome, and the bats can get hot, and Teo's pimping them, and Bo all of a sudden starts getting hot, and, Springer's always doing his thing, and all of a sudden Jackie Bradley Jr. and Whit Merrifield are both being like, yeah, we'll contribute the odd time, which is all you need from those guys, right? Just, hey, can you mix in one hit a game?
And
don't get out every single time. And then when they don't do that, all of a sudden it looks a little deeper. Cavan doing things, we're like on the Cavan train again. Yeah. Everybody's sort of feeling Cavan right now. But then they just do stuff like that Cubs series or that Angels series where they've gone in the toilet and it's hard to trust them. It's just they're a hard team to just say, okay, these guys are doing it now. They figured out they're getting hot. They're going to lock this thing in. They're going to put the Orioles away. And there's something about that with a team like them where you just know that those series could be around the corner where you could just lose all the trust again. it's hard to do the lock it in, stamp it down. Hey, we overreacted to things when, yeah. Could you see them getting swept by the Rays? Then like, it just, you can feel that.
Yeah. Well, they're better on the road. First of all, what have they won? Nine. Like, they've won a lot of games in a row on the road,
which is very unlike them.
I know. I'm kind of caught in the middle on this because I understand what you're saying, but they're also 14-5 in like the last 19 games. Like, they've really, without that outlier,
that's what I'm saying,
of the
though.
Series, mm-hmm. but they went on the road and they beat New York, they beat Boston, mm-hmm. they came home late, an absolute egg, and then rebounded. Like, they won 2-3 against the Cubs and then swept the Buccos, and now have won 2 in a row against the Orioles. Like, they really have rebounded from that awful series. And this last two games are huge games mm-hmm. that they perform big in. So I understand that because I know what their approach can look like when they get that. They're a front running team. That's mm-hmm. what it comes down to. When they get hot, when they get going, they play well. But then when they get down the dumps a little bit, they start swinging for a 5-run home run when there's nobody on base. Like, they really do get down in the dumps. They're a front running team. So you just have to hope that they keep getting these leads in games and keep feeling good. Because they're a momentum team. Like, I know it's hard to say that in baseball, but they are. They really are. When they get going, they look great, and they can just act like that series against the Angels is such an outlier for me. I don't know what the hell happened. What the hell happened in that series? I don't understand.
Just that happened, and then the Cubs happened, and then even the Bucks series.
But they ended up beating the Cubs.
For sure.
And it was a lot had to do with how good their bullpen was. Uh-huh. They had comebacks and clutch pitching in the bullpen. And that Bucks series, you're right. It was not fun for most of it. You know, it was, but they got the win, they got it done. And then they go and win two huge games against Baltimore on the same day. Like you said, if they win today, they're 5.5 games up on Baltimore, and then you're just completely feeling different about this. So I understand where you're coming from, but I have to zoom out and look at the bigger picture over the last little bit. Like, I know that they're a little bit scary to trust fully because we've seen the downswings. Like, they get so cold, so cold. But I think there's something about this team, and I think George Springer has a lot to do with it. Like, the big games, they show up for. And I feel like they're starting to, like, have that reputation where they show up for big games against the, you know. The Rays are a different animal. We'll see.
We'll see. Yeah.
The Rays are just the thing that's owned the Jays forever. So we'll see. But I really am starting to trust that this team shows up in big games.
To me, at this point, I'm feeling pretty damn good about them getting the playoffs, them getting in the wild card. I'd be, again, pretty astonished.
It'd be a historic collapse at this point.
I'd be pretty astonished if they blew it, especially after yesterday. You know, because yesterday was a real pivot moment in the season where they lose two of those games and we're just, you know, smashing panic buttons and everybody's killing them today. By the way, it's Text Line Tuesday, so fire away, whatever you want to talk about. 590, 590. Sammy and I'll read them later in the show. I'm guessing there'll be a ton of Blue Jay stuff today. But watching yesterday anyways, I thought that down the stretch there were going to be two big stories. And one of them was going to be how the deadline pieces helped them, right? Mm-hmm. And what was going to materialize from that. Because I thought that there was going to be just pressure on the front office, especially like if they blew it and didn't make the playoffs. And there were real moments where you thought, okay, this could be a real fight. After the Angels series, there's no way that people were looking at this going, oh, everything's going to be fine. They're definitely going to make the playoffs. How that was going to work itself out was going to be huge. And then how are their stars going to be down the stretch in terms of being able to carry them? And the decision between, you know, the corner outfielders and what their composition was going to look like. But the Bo Bichette thing now has become super interesting just because he's been so damn good these last few games. And now, like you said, if you're talking about big game reputation, if he can do this down the stretch, I think it's going to just erase all of the, hey, what would it be like if the Jays traded Bo buzz? Hey, is Bo really going to be here buzz? Like that to me is the most interesting thing about the stretch run from an individual standpoint now is how much work can Bo Bichette do to erase the frustration of this fan base with him throughout the entire season? Because it was trade Bo for Juan Soto, and everyone had that.
Yeah.
Every single person.
Listen, I still would do that.
No, of course.
Like, he can be as hot as he wants. He's still going
to
do that.
But there was almost like a dissociation with the fan base in Bo. Mm-hmm. Like, he was starting to become the face of what was wrong with this team, which was bad at-bats and some immaturity at times and just that inability to take the next step.
For sure.
He was all of the things. He was the poster boy for it. This season would have, if they end up not in the playoffs this year, he gets a ton of ire. It went from, hey, why aren't we talking about Bo Bichette to, oh, right, this is kind of part of the deal is every once in a while he's going to get hot enough as your shortstop to carry an offense through a stretch of meaningful games. And, just if this continues, what is the story going to be with Bo at the end of the year. Because if he goes back in the cold, he goes back in the dumps, I think that you're going to see a lot of that still this offseason, a lot of consternation amongst the fan base as to what his future is. And if he gets red hot, the conversation is going to start heating up towards the other side, which is, hey, are you going to try to get something done with him?
Yeah, I always forget how young Bo is and like how short, like, you know, you think about when guys used to come up in the major leagues, it was like they were, what, how old are they? 25, 26 when they're coming up. And this is Bo's, what, third season now? Did he come up in 2019?
Yeah.
God, time flies. But yeah, like he's so young and he's so early in his career. And listen, the defensive stuff is still horrifying for your shortstop. Like there's still huge sort of, you think about the big games with him at short, it's still not exactly what you want. He was good yesterday, made a couple good plays. Mm-hmm. But like, I think we have to kind of remember how early this guy is in his career, how young he is. And I know baseball's gotten younger. It's not like you can just say that there's no one like him that's young and playing well for a big team. But I do sometimes forget how young. You see Gibby tweeting about that?
No.
By the way, Gibby's Twitter is just unbelievable. I saw he followed you. Jealous. Yeah, he follows you.
I didn't notice. I honestly didn't. I gotta check that out. I gotta follow him back.
Yeah, he follows you. So
that's sweet.
Yeah. But yeah, he was tweeting about it. Like every team in the major leagues would want him on the team. Like you gotta remember how young he is. And I was thinking about it. Like, it just gave me good perspective. It's true. Mm-hmm. And this stretch right now, he's an ultimate process versus results guy, man. Like the process is never pretty, but it seems like he's gonna be one of those guys that gets to his numbers. So
except for his numbers have dropped every single year from an OPS standpoint, and they've done that again this year. And so, no, it's to me, it's it, the numbers are going to be the numbers means he's going to have to be hot to close the season.
I think he's going to be.
Yeah. Back in school time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Kids are heading back to school today.
Do you still get the feels? Like yesterday, it was hitting me
too
hard.
I'm too old.
You are old. I'm young. I'm a young youth. I still have my youth.
Yeah. I'm 2 whole years younger.
Yeah, I'm a youth.
You're just a baby.
But like, it does. Once that, like yesterday especially, felt like fall.
No, you know what hit me was my buddy's in from out of town. He's staying at my place right now. And he was supposed to go to the X. And he's not from here. And I was like, the X is done. And I had to say that out loud. I was like, the X goes past Labor Day?
And then I think it goes till the Monday.
Yeah.
Like yesterday, like the final day is the holiday Monday.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Does it go past Labor Day?
No.
And then he looked it up and was like, no. I was like, yeah, I thought so. And then that hit me where I went, oh, it's fall. Because we're doing your bachelor party this weekend. And that kind of felt like my close to summer date, you know, where it was like, hey, there's 20 dudes in a house.
It is now fall.
Yeah. Oh, it was fall when I was out in the country the last couple of weeks and I was, you know, nighttime.
Oh, it's freezing.
The hoodies are back. I'm rocking one right now. You're rocking one. We're here. Like fall is snuck up. This was a fast summer, dude. This is a lightning fast summer. I know everybody probably says that every single year, but this one just felt like August was gone.
Yeah. And for me, especially planning a wedding.
Busy.
Thinking
about
that.
If you're busy, it goes by fast. It goes by fast if you're busy. But did you love going back to school?
Yeah, I did. I usually was very sad about I'm very wistful. You know, I get very reflective.
Wistful?
I am. I feel very, I get my feels.
Define wistful for me.
Is getting in your feels, is that what wistful means? What's wistful mean?
I got to be honest with you.
Let's look it up.
No, it's
wistful.
Yeah, you're a wistful guy. I'm going to use that for you forever.
Wistful meaning.
Okay,
wow. Perfect.
Okay, good.
Having or showing a feeling of vague or regretful longing.
Why were you regretful about summer?
Because it's just, you know, you always think you should do more. Like every summer goes by and like I had a great summer. I did lots of awesome stuff, you know, and it just, you always feel like you don't do enough.
I felt like I did so much.
I know, but like you don't feel like you could have done more?
No, honestly, you know what I miss about summer is I feel like I get no naps, no sleeps in because it's just always stuff.
Mm.
And I love having.
No. I nap.
Yeah.
I'm a big napper.
Yeah, you're big. Yeah, because you go play golf and then you just like, hey, I exercise. Now time to sleep the day away like a vampire. But yeah, no, I just never feel like there's a second to just catch your breath in the summer. And that's why it goes by so fast. And all of a sudden you're here. I just, you know what I loved about first day of school? First day outfit.
Oh, yeah.
First day school outfit, getting a show off to the bros, that sweet new set of threads that you've been sitting on for months.
You're laying that out of the bed.
Oh, yes, dude.
I never really cared.
I
know that doesn't surprise you, but I don't really care.
It's so funny. I remember one year, because you'd get to go buy like a couple pairs of jeans, a couple shirts, right, for school, back to school. And one summer, because you know what was hot in the streets for, you know, you in that age of like 12, 13 range, Blue Notes.
I was going to say Echo.
Oh, no. I was hitting up Blue Notes for jeans, what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. Or Exco.
But you could get
stitches or blue nose.
No, I can't remember because I was never that guy. Oh, yeah. I was never that guy.
Okay, good.
No, I was never that guy.
I had a dalliance, but
yeah, I know you did.
I had dalliance.
I seen pictures.
Yeah, no, I never. An exco guy. No, like,
I bought this one set of jeans, and I thought they were so badass. And I was like, I don't know, I think I was 12 or 13, something like that. And they were like these bell bottoms.
No, yeah. No.
I thought they were cool because they were kind of baggy and they were just like big bell bottoms. And I had no idea. And I showed up at school. I just got roasted. And you can't go home. You know, you just got to sit with it all day long. And then I like change clothes and like that. Just all day bell bottom bunk. Oh, just getting absolutely torched for the entire
bell
day.
Bell bottoms.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I just thought they were cool. I just thought, hey, these are like cool looking jeans. They're different.
Styles?
Yeah, man. That's the thing. I would try to pull that. I would try to pull moves like that every once in a while. I'd take some shots on some different articles, you know, because everybody's rocking the same gear. Everybody's like having different iterations. So that's the thing. The best is when they say when you're like in junior high and high school, all you want to do is fit in. And then you get to college and all you want to do is fit out.
Yeah.
Or you want to be different.
Yeah.
And I would always try to like switch it up a little bit with the clothes. Like whenever... Yeah. Yeah, do like a
I
summer
really
away.
Took my shots.
Oh my god, I took some shots, but those bell bottoms killed. Absolutely killed. The most regrettable fashion choice. But no, to go from the high of thinking I'm showing up at school, these sick jeans, and I didn't even know what bell bottoms were.
No,
and I remember like 10 seconds in the door, my buddy Jordy being like, "Is bell bottoms?" I was like, "What?" And then all of a sudden,
at this moment, I knew, I effed up.
And the worst part about it is I guarantee you 60-70% of the people roasting me had no idea either. And then once the roast was happening, they were just like, "Yeah, we're all in on this too. We also know you screwed up." But yeah, I think 12 or 13. But to have that feeling of the first day back at school fit, to have it turn into a nightmare, that's as bad as it gets. The new summer look too, having... What do you think that we should do? Power rankings of like number one moves coming back to school, like being taller.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had that.
Yeah, of course. I'm waiting on that.
I grew from 5'11 or 5'10 from grade 9 to 6'2 in one summer.
Big summer moves is
everyone thought they're like, oh my god, you're so tall. What a feeling.
Yeah,
what a feeling.
I bet.
Oh, buddy, what a feeling.
But guy who shows up way taller and you go, oh my god.
Yeah. Me. I didn't wasn't any heavier. So I look
he's a rake. Yeah. And then they were like, hey, this is Canada. You gotta play basketball. You're tall now. And then you're like, wow, the good players are just, you know, killing me right now. And now I look like a buffoon because everybody's looking at me expecting me to be good. Facial piercing was a big one. Somebody came back to school and they were like, yo, this guy got a eyebrow piercing.
Or a little skid stash too.
Yeah. Oh, I don't think about that one as much because I don't remember too many. Like, I do remember that, but I never felt like that was a cool move.
Yeah.
That was never...
Depends where you're from.
I never looked at anybody with the prepubescent or the post-pubescent, in the pubescent times facial hair went, I'm jealous of that. Never. Dyed hair?
Yeah.
Yeah, like bleached up hair. Yeah, like people coming back from the summer. And having their hair done like that.
I think a good tan goes a long way.
Yeah, but honestly, I never thought about that. I was from the Yukon. It's like everybody's pasty white. You come back. It was like summer. People would be a little bit tanned. I was always so white. I was a ghost. It was never mattered to me. But yeah, those first summer feelings. So good luck to the kids heading back.
Yeah.
I hope that school is kind of
normal now.
Yeah.
I've seen the people that are returning to class. So
yeah, they're going back.
Good. And hey, good on all you parents that survived that. Those last two years of trying to put your kid through school, aka looking at a screen and having to work, and good on you, parents.
Yeah.
I'm not a parent. Didn't have to do that. Yeah. With Lou Dog was bugging me here and there, but I'm all good. So congrats to the parents sending their kids back to school.
I'm tired of the guilt. I'm glad the guilt is over for us that didn't have kids that decided like, hey, we're not doing that right now. All of you guilting me the entire time, like, you don't know what it's like. I'm like, yeah, well, that was my decision, that was yours, live with it.
Yeah, like, your choice.
Yeah, no one forced you. There's no have-a-kid policy I'm aware of that you drew from a lottery on. Like, you can't be like, oh, there's nothing like the love of my kids, and then whenever times are a little tough, cry about it to all of us and say that we don't know. Get out of here with that.
That's one of their favorite things to do.
Oh, my God, yeah, parents is your go-to move. Go-to move.
You don't know what it's like. You're right.
Yeah.
I chose that.
Yeah. I don't want to know. I'm not interested.
Back on two guys with no kids.
Two guys with no kids. First day back at school. That's sweet. Man, football season right here. Like, I just did a fantasy football draft.
Mm-hmm.
We got some football talk coming up later with Ben Solak. Excited to talk to him.
Ooh, I like him.
He's really good. So excited to speak with Ben later on in the show. Tons of Blue Jays talk. Ben Nicholson-Smith. Jay Happ. today. Old Build-A-Barn.
I was going to say, we can't bring up Build-A-Barn. He won't get
Why
it.
Why not? I'll just tell him.
He won't get it. He'll be like, what do you think?
Of course he won't.
He's like, you think I look like a farmer?
Yeah. And then we'll be like, yeah, that was the whole joke.
You just had big shoulders.
Yeah. We looked, no, the whole bit was, you look like a guy who the Amish dudes would call and say, he's the guy that builds the barn. And then he won't laugh. And so we're not doing it. So anyway, Jay Happ building the barn on the show later today. And Dan Shulman, loaded fan morning show. JD Bunkus, Sam McKee, shoot us a follow at JD Bunkus, at Sam McKee. Yeah. Shoot us a DM. It's text line Tuesday. We'll fire some texts away today. So 590-590. When we come back, the A-List.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Fan Morning Show, JD Bunkus, Sam McKee, A-List back next week. I've been off, man. I've been.
I know. It's so hard to get back in the swing of it. Like, I had a week off, and I mean, we talked to you. You're pent up. Like, I had so many takes, and it's. I went on, the Jays were terrible, and then I went off for a week, and they won every game. And then I come back on, they lose three in a row to the Angels. I'm like, I got to stop doing radio. Like, it's me. I'm the problem. It's hard to get back into it, dude. It really is. Like, not to get too inside baseball, but like, I would watch all these games no matter what, if I was doing this or not. Like, I'd love the teams. But, like, you know, you watch it differently when you're doing this. You have to, like, think about things, and you're not just, like, going to work the next day and not thinking about it. Like, it's like you watch it differently. It makes it more of, like, a job, which is great. It's an incredible job. But it's just it's in and out. It's different.
I can never separate myself from the games.
Of course
which
not.
Is, I would say, a toxic trait is that I'll take vacation. I'll take vacation, and then I end up watching these games and end up having takes and then kind of missing doing the shows.
For sure.
The only difference is I'll walk away from bad games.
Yep.
More easily.
100%.
That's the difference, is that I won't stick with trash.
I'm not locked in on a 7-0.
Yeah. I won't stick with trash to the bitter end. Like, that Angels series, I was out.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't like, maybe the Jays will do something in the sixth. I just went,
I was in Quebec that whole week. I didn't watch basically.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, I went to Montreal for that.
Yeah, yeah.
And by the way, I'm a Montreal guy now. I just want you to know that.
I mean, that kind of works perfectly into this.
Yeah. All right.
The A-List. Well, I don't know. I know you're not the biggest TFC guy. You're going to get into it this year. I tried to invite you to a couple games. Didn't work.
Well, I mean, I got COVID. That's why I couldn't go.
Yeah, yeah. Game. And I invite you to one other time, but you were doing something else too.
Yeah, probably.
In the last couple weeks. Yeah, TFC got sunned by their biggest rival on Sunday night.
My impact.
Yeah, and did you see the quote from, you probably didn't, from Thordé Mihailović?
No, because I don't know who that is.
He's one of their midfielder players.
All right, cool, nice. And who's this, which team?
Montreal Impact.
Oh, okay, nice.
He my scored guys. An unbelievable goal.
That's my favorite player,
Mihailović. Although Bono, the tendy, stinks, he said, you can buy ticket sales, but you can't buy heart. Is what he said.
Yeah. Maybe I should be on MLS.
And they got two Canadian internationals on their team.
Yeah.
So like,
Alistair.
And they're second best team in the East right now. They're a good team. And they came and TFC went up 2-0 in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then they scored four unanswered in the first half to make it 4-2. So like, TFC's got some real exciting stuff about them. Like Insigne, Federico, Bernardeschi, very, very sick
very
players.
Nice by you.
Federico Bernardi. He's my.
Are you John Morosi? He's legit.
He's legitimately like a top five fave athlete for me in the city. I love the guy. But
what a lie! I adore him. Lie detector has determined that was a lie.
Yeah. I adore him. I like.
Okay,
soccer.
So let me do. Okay, sure. Let me go over this with you.
Yes.
Scotty Barnes.
Yes. Scotty Barnes, Matthews, Chapman, Manoa. Federico Bernardeschi.
Shut up, idiot.
I love him.
No, what are you talking about? So Vladdy, you like this guy more than Vladdy?
We'll talk later.
No,
we'll talk
okay.
Offline.
Hold on. No, I want to keep going.
No, for their comments.
You like this guy more than you like Fred VanVleet.
No further comments at this time.
Yeah, NBA champion Fred VanVleet wearing it out on the court.
Eyes hurt a lot.
Game of Thrones. shut up.
Top 10. Okay, give me top 10.
No.
Yeah.
Top 10. I'm not even giving you top 10.
This guy scores every game.
Yeah. Siakam.
He's unbelievable.
NBA champion.
I prefer
Pascal
this guy
Siakam.
To Siakam, 100%.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Again. Boof. Lie. What a lie. I guarantee. This guy,
the
first of all, he's
determined that was a lie.
Out of here in a year. He's a soccer player. He's
a
transfer.
He loves it. He learned in English for us.
Yeah. For us.
He loves it here.
For us. Yeah.
He loves it here.
Federico.
I'm Federico Bernardeschi. But they have some good players, but they need a lot of help.
I gotta get the TFC.
Their defense stinks. Their goalie stinks. They're having a tough go.
I got to get to TFC.
And they're not going to make the playoffs now. Yeah. So.
I told you, though. I need TFC to just go get more Team Canada guys.
They will.
I know. They got
Well, they got Mark Undy, and they got Mark Anthony Kay.
Yeah.
And Sorio's been hurt, but like. Yeah, it sucked on Sunday. And, like, I was in the South End, and there was a lot of people yelling at each other because they were doing, like, the Viking clap. And then there was, like, people like, we're losing to our biggest rival. And, like, people were at each other's throats. It was bad. It was bad game. It was bad night. Like, although, I got a corn dog, and it was unbelievable.
Oh, it's a big story right there.
Oh, buddy.
Hey, this just in, Sammy's eating corn dogs. Man, I'm still financially recovering from the X. And my body is still – I think that –
Well, no, the X game for TFC is the ideal situation because you get in for free with your ticket to the TFC. So you show your TFC, you get in, you go get a dog.
No, getting into the X is not the issue.
It's like $30 to get in.
No, well, I went on one of the nights where it was like 11 something.
Oh, okay. I guess it's 20 on weekends, 25 on weekends.
Something like that. But either way, how dare the X charge you to go inside when there's nothing but you're getting nailed.
Pay money.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, oh, you're allowed in here. It's like, what would I have paid the $11 for to see those drones at night?
But
there's nothing free.
But the corn dog
The carnies are on a heater right now.
Boys, the carnies they rode out of here in their Bugattis.
Oh, my God. Those carnies, like, you go to one of those guys' houses, and you're like, what do you do? Are you, like, are you Jeff Bezos' family member? And they go, no, I run the whack-a-mole at the X. I'm rich. No, I got pilfered at that event.
Oh, yes.
Pilfered.
The only thing I bought was a corn dog. And I bought a beer at the stadium, and then we left and went out.
You didn't play any games?
Of course not. No.
You didn't do any rides of the X this year?
No. I just went to, I didn't go for the X. I went to the TFC game, and I was on site, and I ate a corn dog. And
You get a corn dog.
Like, corn dog's my favorite snack at the X. I get one every year. Such a great thing. You can't get a pogo. You can't get anything. They just batter it up, and it's a foot-long banger. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, you're
Canada
time. You're trash. Yeah, but that's okay.
Oh, of course.
It's okay. No,
I've got a bag full of lukewarm McDonald's on the table here that I haven't touched yet.
No, yeah, you're trash eater. Like, honestly, I've never met anybody who has, like, worse taste, worse palate than you. I can't believe, and you know what's crazy, too, is Sam's parents are, like, these really refined, cultured people that probably raised this kid by giving him, like, foie gras, you know? No, He's that kind of kid.
Well, here's the thing. They gave me too much good stuff, and now it's like I want to rebel and have the bad stuff.
Yeah, and all this
Give me
guy,
a white bread,
yeah,
baby.
All this guy likes is whatever you think is the bottom of the barrel product of that food is what his favorite thing is. He'll get defensive about it too. All right, we're running out of A-list time here, so give me another number. We never hit the actual stinger, but these are the items of the A-list. All right,
whatever.
People figure it out.
It's the A-list.
Bing bong.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Hey, Liv this weekend. Liv tour had a pretty good weekend. Did you see any of the clips?
Yeah, because you sent them to me.
Well, but did you see did you see the DJ putt to win it?
Yeah, because you sent them to me.
Here's what I'll say.
I'm not in.
Here's what I'll say. That's okay. Here's what I'll say about it. It's a busy weekend. It's a long weekend. I didn't watch closely for the whole weekend, but I had it on here and there. And it's a very, 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 very different product than the PGA. That's what they want it to be.
Yeah.
But I will say that I think this is the first weekend, and hasn't crossed over into the mainstream.
No, this is my only point. I know,
but like I'm looking at the leaderboard here, and at the top of the leaderboard, it's guys that you know. It's DJ, it's Joaquin Neiman, it's Cam Smith, it's Lee Westwood, who's washed, obviously. But like, it's a notable leaderboard with notable guys, and this is the first weekend where I thought it actually had some momentum with the golf people. Like, golf people were tweeting about it without saying that, like, they're just immediately crapping on it. Like, I actually thought, like, it was had some real stakes, some real drama, and I think there's something there. Nothing happens overnight. Things build. So I'm actually a little bit cautiously optimistic that this is going to grow into something half decent.
So here's my thing with Liv right now. We'll see what it becomes in a year or so, but to me, it looks like only golf hardos care and are seeing it at all, right? Mm. This is not crossed into the casual viewer experience whatsoever. Like, I'm telling you.
It's
nobody,
on YouTube, so that's a tough start.
Nobody knows DJ did that unless you love golf
or
you
Twitter.
Fluked out on Twitter or and like it came Instagram. In your feed. Exactly.
Yeah, 100%.
Unless
Which
you fluked
fair,
out on it.
I completely agree.
There's nobody that's like a casual sports fan or even like a real sports fan that right now has like their Twitter bio has, you know, Pittsburgh Steelers, Blue Jays, Raptors, and then Vancouver Canucks, you know, because they got to be weird about it. So nobody that's got that Twitter bio that loves the core four knows about what's going on with Liv. But to me, with the golf hardos right now, people have already like dug in their trench. So the people who believe in Liv and want it to be another thing and want it to be another product are like gassing it up, and that's you, and that's cool. Yeah. Like, it is what it is. But
sure.
You're on team hit the gas anytime it does anything remotely cool.
Yeah.
You're going to fire it up. You're going to be stoked on it. You're going to be like, oh, look out. It's coming. The guys are all going to eventually end up here. The money's too good. They're challenging. Yeah. And then there's the Gunnings, who are the PGA purists.
Yeah.
And we know who a lot of those guys are.
Most of the guys
and then
Twitter,
they crap on every little piece of it. And they go, this is a flash in the pan. It's never going to turn into anything. I think it's just too early to tell.
It is.
I think there's enough money behind it that there's always going to be
unlimited
dudes.
Money.
There's always going to be, to me, Liv. This is here to stay. Like, this isn't going anywhere. This isn't like Arena Football League, or not Arena Football, XFL, where it could be, oh, it was here for 2 years and everyone thought it was going to be a thing and then it's gone. No, this is here to stay because it's got crazy amount of money in it.
Mm.
Those guys did not go over there and take the risk of doing this only to have it get thrown back into their face a year and a half from now when they decide to pull the plug. Not happening. It's obviously here. I just don't know what the appetite is for people to have two golf leagues when it really doesn't translate again beyond the golf hardcores into one. And so to me, it's like, it just feels like it, overall, it's just going to water down the product, not make it stronger, not make it a competitive league. Like, you're going to watch majors. They're going to let those guys play in majors. It's going to end up being fine. The PGA Championship is going to become nothing. It's going to become three majors.
Well, it already was.
That's what it already was, but now it's even 10 times what it was, right? Who's going to care? Who's going to care about PGA?
I just think there's enough talent that both are going to be good. But here's the thing.
Golf was already struggling with star power, Sammy. Like, golf was already struggling having taken their guys post-Tiger and turning them into names. That's why the Rory story was so big. And then, again, the PGA guys were going, Rory saved golf, because he's the only guy, really. And Spieth is the other one, I think, where if they're winning, people are kind of coming in and want to know what the story is.
The rebuttal to, like, I didn't watch a lot of Liv until, like, I watched, you know, a couple rounds here and there.
That's what I'm saying.
But, like, this weekend, like, the other weekends, like, when I was talking about it, I was like, this was the first time where I'm like, I think it actually might be something. The fans were into it, like,
sure,
big moments.
This is going to be the take whenever Cam Smith wins or whenever DJ wins. Mm-hmm. Whenever it's one of those guys, people are going to be saying Liv is, you know, it's
relevant.
Yes. And then whenever it's not, and it's going to be, hey, how much do these guys care? I just think golf already had two problems. One is that, again, I mentioned it, they don't have enough guys that draw in the casuals, and that's fine. Again, it's one of those things where who cares? I'm not a like my sport guy.
Yeah,
I don't really even care.
Yeah,
but it's not bringing in the casuals, which means like it's not massively growing in terms of being able to sell the game, because you need stars to sell the game. But two, I just kind of looked at it right now and said, guys are making so much money, and this was when it was just PGA. Guys are making so much money. How much is their actual stakes in this?
Well, they don't hate each other like they used to. That's for sure.
They don't hate each other. There's no real rivalries or big time storylines.
Very buddy buddy.
Yeah, and that's it. Is they're all kind of the same ish guy. There's a lot of the same ish guys. That's why it's like Cam Smith comes around and go, how different is Cam Smith other than a mustache and a haircut from being, you know, Justin Thomas, right? Like they're
I mean, not to get too into the intricacies of their games, but they're very different.
Yes, yeah. My point is in terms of like this guy is going to be good and he's going to be hanging around tournaments and he's kind of a name, but he's not a star.
It's always kind of been the same guy.
Yes,
except for Tiger.
That's it.
And that's why, and I think there's a very obvious thing about it.
Yeah, and those dudes already had a ton of money. And now with Liv, now that there's just like they're changing
unlimited
the money game, that there's so much, it's the, what's the saying for the boxers, right? Like you don't, the satin sheets thing.
I don't know the saying.
Oh, God. I can't believe I can't remember that saying.
It's like, you want me to Google it? Satin sheets saying?
Well, no. It's just you get comfortable in satin sheets is essentially the thing. It's like once you start to get money, you don't have the drive and the hunger the same way as you used to. And it's hard to imagine some of these guys that are on the LIV Tour bag really caring about whether or not they win the LIV Tour when they're already generationally wealthy.
Listen, that's the biggest complaint.
Yeah.
Is the stakes, right? And that's what they have to build. They have to build the stakes. And that this weekend was the first one that felt like it had it.
It's hard to get out of bed when you're sleeping in satin sheets, I think is the saying. Mm. I think that's the saying.
Satin, eh?
Yeah.
I wouldn't think that would be, nice. What if you sweat in satin?
Dude, this saying came out in like the 70s.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, sure. When you're sleeping in a water bed, it's hard to get out. You have one? Waterbed?
No, I never
My
had
sister
one.
Had a waterbed. Always it was wanted awful.
But you know what's crazy? So apparently waterbeds are a huge problem in terms of like getting them out of like old apartments, like old high rises.
Well, yeah, how do you get them out? Like,
yeah, exactly.
You got to drain them. You got to stick a hose at the window.
No, and they're just heavy. They're like real pieces of crap.
And horrible for your back.
Oh, yeah. No, I just can't. I don't even want to think about how my back would feel after a week on a waterbed.
Whose idea was a waterbed?
It was because people wanted to be sexy about it.
But like,
that's the whole thing.
I remember my sister having one. And like,
it's tough. That's tough for you, your sister getting a waterbed.
And then I like laid it in and I was like, oof. Like, I feel like I was going to the bath.
Yeah.
Anyways.
I just would hate for some guy to come up to me at school and be like, so your sister has a waterbed, huh? That's all. You're never recovering from that. Let's take a break. Let's come back. Let's talk to Ben Nicholson-Smith. JD and Sam, Sports at 590 The Fan.